Happy Pride Month! This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau, letting you know that this episode and each one during Pride Month is brought to you by Queer Money Gang. Join now at queermoneygang.com. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Show. This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau. I am so excited, happy, enthralled, stoked that you have chosen to join me to create yet another episode of the Entrepreneur Show. Before I say anything else, happy Pride to every single last one of you. I have enjoyed Pride Month so far. We all know that it goes definitely beyond a 30-day period. Pride is a 365-day reality. And my intention is to allow you to have pride and profit intersect. That is why the Entrepreneur Show exists. Yes, it is wonderful to be a voice to a younger generation. It is great, a great thing to remember all of those beautiful humans that did so much for us to live in this reality that we're living in. And at the same time, I am here showing you what's possible, not just as a result of listening to me, my story, and my business, but also being able to bring others on to show you what's possible. Now, with the Pride Celebration Month, I definitely have seen over the years, sometimes there can be a focus on sex during Pride Month, which is fine. I am definitely sex positive. If you desire to focus on sex during Pride Month, focus on it. If you desire to focus on sex 365 days a year, focus on it. Like, that does not make me feel any type of way. However, one thing that I had, not had to learn, but I learned, was that there was something called sacred sexuality. I did not know. I thought once upon a time that sex was like a wham bam, thank you ma'am type of situation. Like, I got mine, I hope you got yours. Like, that's it. Or in a relationship, being able to express another possibility with another human that way. And there's so much more. There's so much more. So if sex, the topic of sex, interests you, you may want to stop what you're doing and pay attention to this particular episode, because I thankfully, gratefully, have someone who understands this space, who lives within this space of sacred sexuality. With it, without further ado, I would love to bring them to the virtual stage. Amy, are you there?
I am. Hi, so thank you for having me.
Of course. Before we do anything with the Entrepreneur Show, we love to honor people's pronouns. With that, what pronouns do you use?
I am she and her.
Thank you. And now that we understand that, the one question before, to get things started, I would love to know, what did you desire to be when you were a little girl?
Oh, a rock star, for sure.
Tell me more about that.
I was in a band with my brother when I was like 3 or 4. And I would bang on pots and pans and scream and yell and paint my face up and wear costumes and just live it up. And my brother is actually more musically inclined than I was and went on to music production. And I just kind of bop around still in my life. And I write music every now and then, but he made a career out of it. I just kind of enjoy it as a side thing.
Thank you for sharing that. Do you feel that with the work that you do within sacred sexuality, that you are still pursuing that rock star persona?
For sure. I don't see it as a persona. I think it's definitely an expression. And I think that music is all about expression. I think sexuality is about tapping into that expression. And I think definitely think it's linked.
Thank you for that. So I'm sure that there are individuals that are listening and they have never heard the term sacred and sexuality poised together. What would be your explanation of that phrase?
For me, and my lens that I see the world in, is that our bodies are beautifully and perfectly made, and our body is a temple. So we are filling that temple with light and love and everything that's divinely done and made, and expressing that with our life force. And I believe that our sexual energy, as I like to call it, or our life force, is something that's really sacred, that's a blessing, that is something that can create life or create beauty or truth or transformation. So sacred sexuality is the intentional practice of harnessing that energy, opening to that energy, seeing the beauty and the sacredness in it. And depending on what your vocabulary consists of, for me, sacred sexuality is a prayer. It's whether that's with myself or with another person, I am sharing that divinity, I'm sharing that sacredness, I'm sharing my life force with you. And whether that is a solo act, and it's not necessarily just within the realm of sex and masturbation, it's understanding that when I experience life through my senses and my body, that's incredibly sacred. That can be a prayer, that can be a meditation.
Okay, so now I have lots of questions.
I hope so.
All right, so, well, thank you for the explanation. How in the world does one know if they are, if they're experiencing sex with another human and they desire this other level, not higher, not lower, just other level of connectedness? How does one know that they are in this sacred sexual space? So, like, how do you know if you are, you know, the meditation, the praying to one's temple? Like, what are some ways to know you're even doing that?
Sure. Well, to partake in that, it's definitely intentional, but some things that may be little breadcrumbs that this is something for you is that you do like to slow down. You do like to look in the eyes of your partner. You do see it as an expression of something really wonderful. And a huge key piece of myself and the people that I know that are in this world and realm of sacred sexuality, and also the people that I teach, there's a desire there for more connection, for sex without shame and guilt, for leaving an experience feeling filled as if you had gone to church or had a community dinner or prayed in the most beautiful spot in the world, you know, leaving a sexual encounter feeling better and charged, instead of what we see and hear a lot is I'm exhausted, I want to numb out, or using sex as a way to numb out, but wanting things to be different. They're all key markers of maybe this is something to look at. Maybe this is something to look at and reclaim your empowerment in, instead of, is sex something that happens to you? Is sex something that you use to disconnect from life or distract yourself from how you feel?
Okay, so the connectedness or the disconnectedness is a way of knowing your intention, correct?
Correct.
And with that said, so I do know, I guess, a beginners or someone who does it consistently as far as meditation. I guess, no, I don't have, not beginner, because I do meditate, different forms of meditation. And the roots of meditation, the way I've learned it, is being in the moment, like being 100% the best you can of being present and taking in all that surrounds you, all that is you. Would that be a way of sharing or creating a sacred sexual experience of the both individuals being in that moment, understanding the power of the now? And if that is, could, what happens if one person is and the other person isn't?
It's okay. Because you are having this experience and your eyes are open and you're present to the moment, it's beautiful. It's these moments, as if the way that I can best describe is you're showing up fully in your being. You can be honest. You can have your full integrity in that moment with your partner. And that's okay if they're not. That's okay if they still have a shield up or a guard up, and you may be more sensitive to it whenever you are fully present and they're not. But that's the dance. That's the meditation. That's the work of not taking it personally when someone else has emotions or acts a certain way that you want them to act differently. That's setting down the codependency. That's setting down the control. And that's where you find orgasm and ecstasy and desire. All these beautiful things are found in the unknown. They're found in the right brain. They're found in the quote-unquote shadow places that we don't want to look at that are super scary. That's when we open to ecstasy.
So you use that word ecstasy. I love the word. I love the word. I think there are many individuals on earth that enjoy the word, but in the work that you do, have you found that though people may enjoy the word, they are usually unknowing of the true reality of the word? Would that be accurate?
Yes, I definitely think there's a desire for an experience of ecstasy, and that's the meeting point of where I meet a lot of people. But the thing about ecstasy is you have to stay present. Whenever you start using it to feel differently or to numb out or to disconnect, that's when you start losing it all over again. So it's constantly changing, and all you have to do is soften and open to it, which is the scariest part. You have to let go of control to experience it.
Okay, so that was a key part. Letting go of control to experience the ecstasy. Got it. Mm-hmm. Now, another question that I have for you is within the queer space, especially with queer men, and especially with queer men of a darker hue, the collective shared experience that is talked about, that I have experienced, is this absence of ecstasy, this absence of connectedness within a sexual experience, whether it is because they feel like they are being fetishized, whether they are feeling as though they are only experiencing sexual encounters with people that are quote unquote DL or closeted. And so they end up feeling as though they are, lack of a better term, masturbation tools. With people that feel that way, and they're listening to this episode right now, is there hope that they can truly have a sexual life, a sexual experience, a sexual reality, as though you stated?
Absolutely. Of course there is.
And then what are two things, just two things that they could do to make that more of a reality?
Well, the first step is learning presence, learning how to be in the moment wholly without running away or fighting it or numbing out. And that's really, really hard, especially when you carry a lot of pain, when there is a lot of trauma. Presence can be excruciating when you're learning it at first, and it's a practice, it's a muscle that you have to grow. The second step is, there's actually a Maya Angelou quote that she, I'm going to paraphrase it and hopefully not butcher it. So she says, "I don't trust anyone who tells me that they love me and they don't love themselves." And that quote is the first step of sexual reclamation and on your own path to ecstasy, and to not even just ecstasy, but to expression and embodiment. You have to start with yourself. You have to learn what your skin feels like. You have to learn what feels good to you and not expect someone to give it to you. You have to set yourself up for success. You have to know what your pleasure feels like. You have to be comfortable feeling and opening to the full spectrum of what that is, whether that's emotions or endorphins or pleasure without guilt, or maybe opening to your kinks, maybe opening to some of the desires that you have shame around, and letting yourself without judgment, without shame, without guilt, start to experience pleasure on your own. Reclaim that for yourself and be present with that. And that's going to lead you to starting to experience a fuller, brighter life when you can start giving that to yourself.
Got it. Thank you for that. Because as I'm thinking about those individuals that may feel, you know, like I said, a masturbation tool, and they desire this level of connection, and then thank you for the response that you gave. But if you take this another step beyond, and you have individuals that have had some form of sexual trauma in their lives, I have a two-part question for that. Number one, is there hope for them? And then number two, before someone chooses to work with you, do they need to go to a therapist or a counselor or do some type of work to remove all traumas from their experience in order to find this nirvana type of a sexual experience?
So the first part of your question, of course, there's hope. I've experienced sexual trauma in my life. So many people that are on this path have. It's one of those where a lot of people who have felt good in their bodies after trauma and have come to a place where they're not run by their trauma can turn around and go, "Oh wow, I need to help others. I need to share this." And that was my experience. And so there's definitely hope. And trauma doesn't work in a way that says, "I can put you down and I don't have any trauma." There's different, if you've experienced sexual trauma and you've never explored that trauma, I would very much encourage you to go see a therapist, to talk about it, to open that up, because that's not what I do. I don't sit there and talk you through what happens. I teach you how to move that energy through your body. And so the other side of that is you do need a therapist too, and maybe not a therapist, maybe you have your own path, and there's many different ways to address trauma. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for therapy. I think it's wonderful, and there shouldn't be shame or stigma around it. And nowadays there's so many free ways to have that resource. And trauma comes with a lot of habits. Trauma comes with ways that we navigate the world so that we're not triggered, whether that is fighting, or we run away from hard situations, or we numb ourselves. So getting to know yourself, what are your triggers? What causes that trauma to feel so vivid in your body or in your life or in your experience? And learning how you navigate that is key. Because if you put yourself in an uncomfortable situation where sex is taboo, sexuality is taboo, talking about this conversation may be highly charged for you. That's okay. Knowing how to self-regulate your nervous system is something that I do teach, but I don't talk through trauma. So that's another key piece that I highly recommend. But I don't think that trauma is one of those where it ever leaves you. You just learn how to regulate your own nervous system. You learn how to reparent that part of yourself that got torn. You learn to give yourself what you need, accept who you are, and you don't have to run. You don't have to navigate this. You don't have to avoid your pain any longer, because then you have a tool set. And I think therapy is a huge part of that tool set. I also think that knowing your body and loving your body is a huge part of that. And I think self-care is a huge term that's overused, because it's not just consuming and buying products and taking baths and going to the spa. It can be a part of it. But I think true self-care is identifying what you need for your health, your mental health, your emotional health, your sexual health, what you need, setting boundaries, and also being able to provide that for yourself, and then learning how to receive it from other people.
Yes, agreed. Thank you for bringing up the self-care portion. I am definitely a proponent of that. And the same way you said it, it's not about taking yourself out on a date or giving yourself a bath. It truly is about, first off, finding out what you want for you, because not everybody desires the same thing. My level of self-care will look vastly different from another person. And then making sure that you create and communicate the boundaries to facilitate that self-care. So thank you for that. As we begin to close out this episode, I'm really interested in knowing what type of joy comes from, or what type of joy have you experienced with the individuals that you have worked with so far?
I have witnessed people who have never experienced orgasm, who have found pleasure in their own bodies and get to celebrate it. I have seen people who use sex as a weapon and felt so much shame around it, relax into their sexuality and fully accept themselves. So there's so much joy and power in that. And my favorite part of being a witness and being able to teach this is that the beauty and the gifts on the other side of it. All the energy that you free up, that dancing around pieces of yourself that you're rejected, now that's free energy. What are you going to create with that? And that's the most beautiful, joyful part of it, is the creation and the expression on the other side.
Thank you. And if somebody's listening and it's like, you know what, Amy, I would like that. I would like to create that for myself. What is the first step? And so once they've actually made contact with you, what's the first step that they experience on that journey?
The first step is I teach you self-regulation. So before we get too deep into any of the practices, you learn where your nervous system's at. We use breath work, meditation, we use asana, which is body poses, and a little bit of workout to learn how your body moves, where you hold pain in your body. You learn your body really, really well before we start, because that's the best place to start, is where you're at.
Understood. And with that, how do people get in touch with you? What is the best way? A website or a social media platform?
I love Instagram. So if you reach out to me on Instagram, it brings me so much joy. So you can follow me at Amy Gendra. Or my website is perfectly good too. So my website is www.womanandme.com.
Thank you. And please know, everyone that's listening, do not try to wreck your car right now writing that information down. Believe me, I tell you guys all the time, there is gold in the show notes. All of the information that Amy just laid out is in the show notes. So please go there. Once you find a safe moment to do so, please go there, connect with Amy. There is no reason why you should continue a life that doesn't bring you joy if you have a way to change it. So if you are someone that their interest was piqued by having a sacred sexual practice, a sacred sexual reality, and you're thinking to yourself, how in the world can I do this? And then boom, you're witnessing an episode about this, and you're like, you know what, I want to do something different. Reach out to Amy now. Do not wait till tomorrow. Do not wait until next week. Do not put it off another hour. Reach out to Amy now so that can be different for you. Allow her to support you where you are and to where you're going. Amy, thank you so much for being a guest. It is an honor. It's a joy to have you on. I would love to have you come back. To everyone that is co-creating this episode, thank you. Without you, like, the power of this show would be for nothing. So thank you so much. As always, I am Asa Laveau, your divinely queer host. Dreams and blessings.